Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stutzer.
People don't realize the level of stubbornness in your heart. That
it's my heart.
Still, it's your heart. It's a heart issue. It's a blind spot and a heart issue. You know, these are the Christian words, right? So go to your quiet time, deal with this blind spot and this heart issue, and change the introduction. People are wanting, I mean, people, if you would just start leaving reviews at iTunes and saying, this is an amazing podcast, except the introduction is not being changed.
I love how you said people. It's very pastorally anecdotal from a stats guy.
It is. People are staying. I've been here. Lots of people are staying.
Hundreds. So. No, actually thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Yes. Anyway, so, all right. So today's going to be a kind of a think tank-ish type of podcast. And partially what really, I guess, stirred this question or inspired this question is some of the stuff that we've been reading right now about restarting and relaunching, and the idea that we're going to be launching small and smaller gatherings being opening up first, and just the whole idea around bivocational ministry and how bivocational ministry and planting new churches and campuses is going to be even more important now. And then the long-term kind of Andy Crouch, Little Ice Age language, this idea of a long-term economic impact that I know, at least in Alberta, we're going to be feeling for quite a bit of time because of the dependence that our economy has on oil. And there's all the global oil kind of stuff going on too, right? So the idea with today's episode is really, really brainstorming around what funding looks like. So here's a question. Ed, if you could blow up what funding looks like for church planting, just blow it all up and start from scratch to reach the West in particular, what would it look like?
Oh gosh. Yeah. That's a tough question, because, you know, there's a lot of church planters who are being funded right now who, in saying this, might not appreciate it. Here's the thing. There is kind of the assumption, and it may be true. There is kind of the assumption that, that if we removed funding from the equation, that we'd see a church multiplication movement. Is that true? I don't know. Is it possible? Yes. But what I would say is there are now, you know, there are all Western democracies, industrialized democracies that don't have church planting movements in them. So it appears that removing the funding doesn't create this explosion, because we actually tried it in some states. We had one state district of my denomination that said, we're not going to fund church planters anymore. We're going to just redo it, and everyone's going to be bivocational. And it just didn't work. Mm. I mean, they were going to do house churches and see an explosion, you know, whatever you call house, simple, organic, and see an explosion. It didn't happen. So if I could remap funding, I would probably do it where we have multiple lanes, multiple tracks, whatever picture you want to use. And there would be a funded track probably for those who went through, you know, some sort of training, maybe a seminary, Bible college, whatever it may be, because that's sort of the path a lot of people take. And I do think that's a valid path. Obviously, I'm the dean of a school, a grad school that works and trains pastors. But I would say too, I would want to say, what's an unfunded track? What's it look like to raise up people from the harvest who become pastors and church leaders or church planting teams and more? So I think the challenge is that we don't have too many models where we're actually able to have what I might call a diversified portfolio. You may have heard of the stock market. The stock market has been quite a ride, right? So, but people, what they say is, if you're doing your retirement, you're supposed to diversify, you know, and I'm no expert at this sort of stuff, but you're supposed to have some do this, some are aggressive, some are not aggressive, whatever. Here's what I would say. I think in your church planning strategy, if you had a bucket of funds, so we're talking about denominations and networks, whatever, maybe large churches, I would diversify. I would have some in the kind of church planting that we see a lot. You know, people come out of seminary, they go plant a church. I would fund some of that. I would fund catalysts to create movements in in maybe even under-resourced areas, rural areas, urban areas. I would have some catalysts who become catalyzing missionaries who raise up church planters from the harvest, and I would fund some from that. So, and I would have, you know, in between, I would have some ways that I would want to help people want to create missional incarnational communities to maybe supplement a part-time job that they're getting at Home Depot or something, and, you know, supplement that with some additional income so they can have some additional time. They don't need to work the overtime. So I'd have multiple, you know, I'd try to ask, you know, what does it look like within certain ethno-linguistic communities? I would have leaders from those communities help set funding strategies and more. All of those would be things. So it would be a multifaceted. It's not simply, and I think this is the challenge, the simplicity of people saying, well, from now on, we're just going to not fund church plants doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we've tried it. And what I would say, it does work in some places. So let me rephrase that. If you're in an area that's never seen, paid, for example, clergy, and you're in an unreached or maybe unengaged, unreached people group, and you raise up leaders and bivocational ministry or, you know, volunteer clergy is the norm from the beginning. Think of Roland Allen's book, The Case for Voluntary Clergy, or, you know, Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or ours. I think the challenge is the person asking that question probably lives in the Western world where we already seen those models or expectation of some of those models. I think it's harder to answer with a blanket statement in a place that's seen 50 ways to do this already.
No, I love that, Ed. I love the idea of the different lanes. And that's something that we've talked about quite a bit during our Church Planting Leadership Fellowship gathering. And that's a biannual gathering that we do. So twice a year where we're gathering together church planting leaders of denominations and of networks across North America, really focusing in on, okay, what is next? And how do we best equip these individuals to lead church planting for their denominations and networks? And when this releases, it's going to be early June. And in about a month's time, whether we actually physically gather at Wheaton or it's a virtual gathering, we are having our next CPLF gathering. And if you're interested in that, you could just go to newchurches.com/CPLF. But the reason I bring that up is because, Ed, during that gathering, and I'm so excited about it, is because we're going to be talking about R&D church planning, all the different lanes. And one of the lanes in particular that we're going to be talking about is this notion of online church planting as a way to plant. And for each of these methods, and we're going to be digging a little bit more into collegiate church planting, which typically doesn't, it's hard to become sustainable, not always, obviously, but there's been that history and that background toward that. We're going to be talking about apartment-based, kind of move-in-based church planting. But as it relates to the online side of things and as it relates to the different methods of doing it, really, we're talking about, okay, do you assess differently? Do you train differently? I think we've been training differently, but do you assess differently and do you fund differently?
Yeah, I think the answer to those things would all be yes to some degree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you open up those lanes, I mean, you have to, you know, you shouldn't be assessing people for vocational ministry church planting, vocational church planting in the same way, you should. I think Neil Cole puts it this way, lower the bar on what it means to do church. And that's going to get some people to send in letters. But the point is, it's very complex. Yeah, letters. Yeah, you remember those letters. Well, still call letters to the editor,
yeah,
right?
There you go. One Lifeway Plaza, so, Nashville, Tennessee.
Exactly. So it's very complex the way we do church. You know, I got a file of 501c3 or the equivalent in whatever nation people are listening to for tax exemption. I got HR issues, all that sort of stuff. You know, I got volunteer policies. So if we lower the bar the way we do church, we're not going to make it so complex. We're going to have churches of 15 to 20 or 25, you know, like house churches in the New Testament, right? They didn't have all those things. Then I think you need to assess differently. So finishing Neil Cole's statement, we need to lower the bar on how we do church and raise the bar on discipleship, right? So with discipleship, I think ultimately that means that some of the people we disciple are going to be discipled into some key leadership roles who ultimately become pastors and church leaders as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I would say it's more free. There's more freedom to specifically do and to be church planters and even pastors and thus the assessment process should be different. There's a whole lot of people who love the Lord, who are maybe leading small groups right now that could be pastors you know, meet the First Timothy 3 qualifications and be pastors in, you know, a few months, and we could raise, and the assessment would just be different, and then they would multiply rather than expand.
Yeah. No, that's good. The idea of the different lanes is so critical as it relates to leading. And for your church, maybe you're listening in and you're like, okay, well, we want to be a multiplying church. We want to be a multiplying church, and we need to figure out what funding looks like for us to be a part of multiplication. Yeah, maybe you might not be a denominational or a network leader, but we've talked about churches, planting churches, and the importance around that. And not just, you know, what does it look like for you as a local church to have skin in the game as well? And funding is a part of that. So I think being able to, as a local church as well, think about the different lanes is going to be a helpful exercise. And I think in particular, because we're going to be doing this CPLF gathering online, likely, we don't know for sure, but if you're interested in that and you are a church planting church, right? Maybe you're not a denominational or network leader, but you're a church planting church. Just send an email to me, daniel@newchurches.com, and I'd love to talk to you about ways that we can better resource you and possibly connect you in to a few of the sessions during this upcoming CPLF gathering, because I do think it's going to be timely, especially as we investigate these new lanes toward ministry. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast, and we will catch you next time.